words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my God. Please be seated. Well, it's good once again to be back with you at All Angels. I apologize for my had lunch with my senior warden the day before I was supposed to come here last month, and he turned up positive with COVID. So I never got COVID, but I felt prayed for him. He was a little under the weather for a while, but it's doing fine now. So it's still out there. It's still moving about, so be very careful and cautious during your days. As always, I'm a gospel preacher. You know, I like taking the gospel and looking at it and trying to get my hand around what the message really is. Today's passage is kind of one of those ones that I think sometimes I'm hard to understand, but the obvious is sort of staring you in the face. But like the disciples, we too can say about ourselves so often, what is this that he says? What is it that he says? So I can see this trusty band of disciples walking in the garden, and he's talking about leaving them, and they don't understand it. He does not understand, well, he understands for sure. They don't understand what in the world he's talking about going away. But I think we too, once we ask that question of ourselves, become one members of his disciples too. We fall into the same camp. We can ask Jesus, what are you talking about? Are you talking about visiting your father Joseph once? Probably been gone a number of years. Are you talking about some spiritual father that you visit out in the desert? Are you talking about your father in heaven? What are you talking about? Many questions come to mind when we ask the same question. When you open up the scriptures and you lay your Bible on the table in front of you and you read a passage and you ask the question, what is this all about? Once again, we find ourselves becoming one of his disciples. It is just too hard to understand, we say. It is just too hard to get all those dictionaries out, the commentaries out, old sermons, look at the Greek, maybe a little Latin. It is all so overwhelming. These disciples, just like us, that when we try to understand something Jesus was trying to teach us, we just don't understand. Confusion or lack of energy sets in, and we surrender to our happy trail, and we give up. It is impossible, I think, to understand why we try, but maybe just someone who just tell me plainly, what are you doing so I don't have to go study? I don't have to work hard. I don't have to figure this out. Just tell me plainly, Jesus, so we can follow you. A brief review I'll give you here in just a moment of the last couple chapters does not go without notice. And we find ourselves once again, not on the third Sunday of Easter, I might add, but back at Holy Week. Jesus has been talking about him going away for some time. And at the last four chapters of the book of John, we read that Jesus is telling them that he must go to his Father. They are in Jerusalem, and they have been with him a couple of days. They just finished their Passover meal. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? Jesus answered, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And of course, we learn of the wonderful and memorable words of St. Peter when he says, Lord, why can't I follow you? I will lay down my life for thy sake. That didn't go very well, did it? Jesus comes back and he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go now, and the way ye know. In this case, Jesus knew something about them that didn't understand, that they did not understand about themselves. And then he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But ye see me because I live, ye also shall live. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, from the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I said unto you. Then he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, and not as the world gives, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go to my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And he closes the book, and that's the end of their conversation. From that point, he goes to the cross. And so it is in this end that he says farewell. A couple things, if you reflect on it. One is that they are scattered. They're all over the place now. But Jesus believed in them and had hope for them. And I think three, in many remarkable ways, that he was coming back to get them. And then that is what we rejoice in and profoundly mystified. Do we ask the question again, what does he say? I think a lack of understanding comes with a little help, you know. In this case, Jesus assured them that the Holy Spirit will teach them all that they need to know, and that the power of the Holy Spirit is the key to that lack of understanding about what Jesus means when he says, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Such need for clarity, for the mission and purpose of Jesus. Once they receive the clarity of understanding and the purpose of who Jesus was, it ignited a fire in them. The good news began to run rapid like a fire. Clarity comes with understanding, but through suffering. Do you think we can escape it? We can't. One writer said, patience is the vein through which the Holy Spirit will bring them through the struggle, because without some sort of struggle, we will never appreciate the discovery. We will not value the truth without hard work. That which is free does not have the kind of value placed on the object. We are the object of God's love. And God works hard to communicate to you his love. And it comes through suffering. And we remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Can God suffer? Do we ask? Does he know our suffering? Has he suffered? Maybe. The struggle be great. There is no substitute for weeping and lamenting. There is little significance placed on something that's given to you free. All things of clarity and understanding come from hard work. In our gospel passage today, the disciples' lack of understanding is not answered by Jesus. You know, he just seems to pile on more predictions about the hours and the coming days. They become anxious and weary and anguish sets in and tells them that they will suffer. And he shall weep, that they shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Certainly his accusers rejoice when they saw him hanging on the cross. But the commitment that he made, the devotion to his unyielding love and compassion. Because from this moment forward, the world will never be the same again. A new child has been born into the world, a new hope and promise for the future of all ever born of this world. The times of old religion are gone, and the hope of a new covenant between God and man is now established. Brothers and sisters and disciples in Christ, understand it yet. But you will, he says to them, and you will understand your place in it. This is a much bigger deal than they realize. A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy will last forever and ever and ever. As soon as Judas left the upper room at the Passover meal, there was no turning back. The stage was set as we reflect once again on Holy Week. Easter Sunday, our hearts rejoice, and no one can take away our joy. But what drives the church back to Holy Week this Sunday? What drives us back? I think it helps us put behind us that tragic event. It helps us close the book on it. It's a done deal. It's over with. All that lies ahead of us is trying to come to some clarity of understanding, rejoicing and shouting with joy to God. All the earth, hallelujah, says our introit, which I should have read to you earlier, but I didn't. Hear a psalm. His name, hallelujah. Give glory to his praise, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you wallow in Holy Week, there will be nothing but sorrow. But to remain in Easter brings us to a greater love for God. And so let us rejoice in hope and be patient in tribulation, because we believe in a victorious living. Jesus resurrected from the dead. Easter on earth is only a foretaste of eternal love and an eternal Easter. Perfect joy awaits us in heaven. The crown of faithfully lived Christian life, fully directed towards the final triumph. The Christian's life is a struggle in which the victory already won in the person of our Lord. There is not much time to waste, Christ says. His real presence is now and lives in the churches, and his glorious return at the end of time. Even the second is not far away, says St. Augustine. St. Augustine said, and I will close with a sentence, it seems long because now time is still passing. But when the wait is over, we shall know how short it was. May God add these blessings to these words. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.